Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Law of Attraction and Love radio show. My name is Dr. Karen Kann, your host today. I've written an ebook manual on how to harness the law of attraction to manifest your dream love partner, and it's called Creating Your Fairy Tale Love Life. And you can find this ebook on www.creatingyourfairytalelovelife.com. Today's show, we're going to focus on the five biggest mistakes people make when looking for love. And by mistakes, I'm specifically referring to quote-unquote mistakes in properly harnessing the law of attraction to get what you want. So if you're joining us on this show live, please feel free to call in and ask a question. I'll be able to see your number online, and I'll let you know when it's your turn to ask your question. The number to call in is 1-347-945-6313. Again, that's 1-347-945-6313. So let's begin. Let's start with the first mistake people make when they're looking for their perfect love partner. Mistake number one, you are not clear enough and don't ask for what you really want. When you set an intention or make a wish or ask the universe for what you want, you need to be absolutely clear about what you want. If you're wishy-washy with what you're asking for, and what I mean is the thoughts in your head, the more consistent you are in asking for the same thing over and over again, the more likely you are going to get the results. But if you're wishy-washy in your asking, you will get kind of blah results, or wishy-washy results, actually. So if I was to ask you right now, what kind of person are you asking the universe to deliver to you, how many of you would be able to give me a list of specific attributes of the person you are looking for? Now, we covered this in Chapter 2 in my ebook, Creating Your Fairy Tale Love Life, where I give you a list of questions to answer to test whether you really have thought out your entire wish list. So let me give you some examples. My friend Christina decided one day to write down a list of qualities and attributes that she wanted in an ideal love partner. It was doing this simple exercise that created the reality whereby she met her husband, her future husband, within 3 weeks. So 3 weeks of writing, after writing down all the things that she wanted in a love partner, she found him, and currently they are happily married. Now, when I'm talking about qualities and attributes, I want you to get very specific. Although it's okay to write down, quote, I want a loving partner who values me and treats me well, end quote, it truly isn't specific enough, in my opinion anyway, to create a magical relationship. Now, if you want to know what I mean by specific, check out my wish list. Now, I wrote my wish list to the universe and met my dream partner about 3 months after this. So these are the qualities and attributes that I asked for. Number one, I wanted him to be gorgeous and have a body that complemented mine as a skating partner. I wanted him to be athletic and able to skate at my level or better. I wanted someone who was intuitive and willing to express his feelings easily, which, by the way, makes for an excellent on- or off-ice partnership. And for those of you that don't know, I'm a figure skater, and I really, really wanted a figure skating partner. And number four, I wanted him to be about 5'9" or 5'10" tall because it would be the ideal height for me to skate pairs. And that's pretty specific. I wanted him to accept moving to where I live because I was sick and tired of moving every 3 years, which is what I did with when I was with my ex-husband. I wanted him to be handy around the house and like taking care of the house because, to be honest, I didn't. I needed him to be a good cook and like cooking because I didn't really like to cook, but I love to eat. I wanted him to be interested in personal growth and spirituality because that was very important to me. I think we're on number 9 now. I wanted him to enjoy the pastimes that I enjoyed, including yoga, dance, music, and, of course, skating. Number 10, I wanted him to be competitive with his skating so we could skate at the national championships. Number 11, I deeply wanted for him to be a wonderful caregiver. I had always been the caregiver in my marriage, and I really wanted a partner who knew how to take care of me for a change. Now, James's list, now James is my current partner, my dream love partner that I manifested. Now, his list was a lot simpler than mine, but still very specific. He wished for a beautiful Asian woman who enjoyed his drumming, preferably would drum with him, and enjoyed athletic pursuits like he did. But most of all, he wished for someone who would be loving towards him, who would show her love to him. You see, his ex-wife was not very affectionate, and he felt deprived of love and affection through the 9 years they were together. So he wanted someone who he could hug, kiss, and snuggle up with, and I totally understand that. Now, you notice how specific James and I were in our wish list to the universe. Now, there is a special technique that I cover in Chapter 2 of my book that converts your wish list into a format that the universe can understand. We don't have time today to cover this, but in short, the technique converts your criteria from the I want status to the I have status, and the latter is the language of the universe. The second point I want to make is that you really need to ask for what you want and not what you think you should want. And to be honest, it took me a while to get this. At first, I wanted a skating partner more than I wanted a love partner, so I only asked for a skating partner. Why? Well, basically because I didn't believe that I could have both a skating partner and a love partner in one person. Logically, it was such a rare possibility that I didn't allow the universe to create this reality for me. However, secretly, I wanted both, but was too afraid to ask for both. And my manifestation was getting pretty mixed results until finally I got the message. I needed to ask for everything I wanted and to get very clear. So don't sell yourself short. Many people don't ask for what they really want because they don't believe they'd get what they want. They're so afraid of being disappointed. But I'm going to have you stretch here because the universe knows your underlying wishes even if you're not conscious of them. So you might as well make them conscious. I had to take a chance, and I'm glad I did because James and I both got exactly what we asked for in a partner. Hey, if you're joining me on the show right now, please feel free to call in and ask a question. I'll be able to see your number online, and I'll let you know when it's your turn to ask your question. The number to call is 1-347-945-6313. Again, that's 1-347-945-6313. Now, mistake number two. Mistake number two is you have no passion for what you say you want. To consciously use the law of attraction to manifest your ideal love partner takes energy and passion. If it were easy, everyone would be able to do it instantly. It's not that it's hard, but it does take energy regardless. Think about Olympic athletes, for example. They train 6 days a week and work hard to attain their goals. The law of attraction responds to anything you put energy into. So my question to you is this. How much energy are you currently spending in the arena of manifesting your dream partner? How much time and or money, if any, have you spent in learning from successful people in this arena so you can copy what they do? How many books have you read? How many courses have you taken to improve your relationship skills? What are you thinking about most of the day? Is it your job, your bills, your kids, or how lonely you are? You really do need to put energy and focus into manifesting something you consider, well, important or big. You don't need as much energy to manifest things you consider small. For example, when I see a patient in the office and think about their problems and thinking about how I can solve the problem or help them solve the problem, it's almost true that I'll come across a medical article within the same week that deals exactly with the problem that I'm facing with this patient. And it's so common that I've just come to expect it. Now, I don't really need a lot of energy to manifest this type of quote-unquote help from the universe because, well, it's energetically small to me. I expect it. It's no big deal, and it comes to me easily. Another example is that I have some weeks where I have empty space in my office schedule. Now, if I want them filled with a patient, I'll ask the universe to fill it. And usually I get the holes, quote-unquote, filled quickly. People will call me out of blue and ask for an appointment. The only thing is that if I'm tired, the universe will not fill these holes for me, even if I ask, because my underlying wish is I probably need more rest. So in that case, I do need some energy. The other example I love to tell people about is how I manifest the weather. Now, it sounds rather strange, but the most common thing I ask for is clear and safe driving conditions. And occasionally, I live in the Northeast, so that we have terrible ice storms and snowstorms occasionally. And if it happens to interrupt something that I'm doing or need to do or need to go somewhere, then I'll ask the weather god, so to speak, to help me with the weather. And in other words, I need to have a vested interest in order to change the weather system. If it doesn't really matter to me whether it snows or not, well, I'm not that effective in asking for a change in weather. But if it affects me, then usually 99% of the time I get what I ask for. You know, I'll ask for clear roads, I'll ask for it to stop snowing or to snow a different time and to stop snowing when my patients need to see me or if I need to travel. And, you know, it usually works, and it's so funny because, you know, people will come up and say, oh, you know, it was supposed to snow really bad, and I don't know what happened. It just kind of petered out, and I just sort of laugh, you know, under my breath because I know exactly what happened. I asked for the snow to stop. And this happened really dramatically in my friend emailed me about the San Diego fires several months ago, and she was in, you know, in line of where the fire was going to come to, and she was going to have to evacuate it. So, you know, I said, look, you know, maybe I can do something. I can pray to the weather gods, you know, and ask for something to change. And, of course, I had a vested interest because she was my friend and she lived there, and so I had my energy going there to try to help. And I asked her what she needed. She said that what they really needed was the winds to die down. And so, okay, I said, we'll do that, you know. So I imagined the winds dying down and, you know, angels blocking the wind or whatever I was doing. And sure enough, within 24 hours, the winds died down and they were able to fight the fire more effectively. So, you know, you can all do this. This isn't something special that I do. I think that a lot of people just don't realize how powerful they really are. It's just a matter of how much energy you put into what you want to manifest. Now, my other example is I have a good friend. I'm going to call him Carl. He's a very busy college student, and yet he told me he wished for a romantic partner. Now, I knew one of the reasons why he couldn't manifest one is that I've seen him in other relationships, and what happens is when he gets busy at school, he just kind of drops, you know, a potential partner like a hot stone. He doesn't think anything of not returning phone calls from a love prospect for weeks because he's thinking about school, not romance, most of the time. When someone becomes truly interested in him and wants to spend more regular time with him, he pulls away. So my guess is that he thinks he wants a partner, but he really doesn't have the energy or time to devote to one. And voila, he doesn't have anybody. You know, and recently I really want to address this this letter from a young man who wrote to me and said he wants to have a girlfriend. He wants to be like a, you know, a woman magnet, and he wants to get a girlfriend with zero effort. Now, that's exactly what he wrote. He wants to meet a girlfriend with zero effort. Now, at least that it takes energy to manifest a love partner. So can you guess what his chances are of manifesting a girlfriend? Yep, it's about zero. If he is not willing to expend any energy or effort in manifesting his girlfriend, he's not going to get one, certainly not a good one anyway. The universe will always match your energy level in your efforts. It's the way of the law of attraction. And besides, girls, can I ask you this? Would you want to be with a man who puts no effort into a relationship? I would think not. You'd probably run in the other direction. Relationships take effort. It doesn't mean it isn't a heck of a lot of fun in the process, but it takes effort. So that's mistake number two, is that people don't put enough passion or energy into what they say they want. Bottom line, if you have no energy and passion for getting your dream partner, the universe matches you with no results. The universe always matches your energy input. So if you're joining us on the show, please feel free to call in and ask a question. I'll be able to see your number online and let you know when it's your turn to ask your question. The number to call is 1-347-945-6318. 1-3. Okay, let's move on to mistake number 3 out of the 5 biggest mistakes people make when searching for their love partner. Mistake number 3 is that you don't realize that you have conflicting wishes. Conflicting wants confuse the universe. Say you want to be married and you're wishing to meet your future spouse, but at the same time, you completely and totally enjoy the freedom to do whatever you want, whenever you want, because, you know, you're single. So you may have a conflicting wish there. If your belief is that getting married will restrict your happiness and freedom, you will sabotage, unconsciously, your efforts to manifest your dream partner. Another example. Say you want to get married, but your best friend is single and has expressed to you how much he or she loves to hang out with you every Friday night. You might end up feeling bad or guilty about being partnered up and leaving your single friend high and dry Friday nights. You see how it's a conflicting wish? You want to both please your friend and please yourself by finding a love partner. So it's not that you can't have both, but if you don't realize you have a conflicting wish, you'll work against yourself. So what happens when you have two conflicting wishes or wants? The answer is this. When you have two conflicting wishes, the wish or desire that has a greater emotional charge will prevail. So in the examples I gave you, if you value your freedom more than your wish to get married, then you will not be able to find someone to marry. And then the other example, if you feel really guilty about leaving your single friend to get married, then you'll sabotage your own efforts to get hitched. But here's the good news. If you're not getting results, think about what conflicting wishes you may have that are preventing you from getting what you want. In other words, ask yourself, what am I getting out of this situation? Once you've diagnosed your conflicting wishes, then you can consciously decide which wish gets more energy. Where energy flows, results show. That's the law of attraction. The trick and skill is to become as conscious as possible to all the different wishes and wants we can have in our lives. When we become conscious of our conflicting ones, then we can consciously choose one over the other. So let's move on to mistake number 4 that people make when they are looking for their love partner. Mistake number 4 is that you stick to your belief system even though it isn't supporting you. And what I mean is it's not supporting you in attracting the love of your life. I recently received a letter from a 22-year-old man, I'll call him Paul, who believed that his only chance for love was to grow his height from 166 centimeters to 185 centimeters. He asked me whether he could do this with the law of attraction. Now, I can't say for sure whether he can grow from 166 to 185. He's certainly fairly young, and he may have some, you know, endocrine or hormonal issue that can be corrected easily with growth hormone. I'm not really sure, but it's possible for him to grow taller. But my point is, it doesn't really matter, because what he really wants is a partnership. Now, his belief is that he can't manifest anyone who would love somebody as short as he is. So what happens is that the universe responds to his belief that no one will love him because of his height, and he manifests exactly that in his life. Now, this young gentleman, he's an expert in the field of statistics, data mining, business, and financial strategy. I mean, the guy's smart. And yet, he refuses to believe that he can have a loving relationship because in his mind, he is too short to be loved. In Chapter 5 of my ebook, probably the most challenging process in the manifestation process is to uncover your emotions and beliefs that are literally blocking you from creating your dream. This young man would rather stick to his belief that he is too short to be loved than to entertain a new belief that there is no such thing as being too short to be loved. I even told him that my good friend Gary, who is the same height as he is, actually might be even a little bit shorter, is happily married to a woman. Now, she happens to be several inches taller, but, you know, they have a beautiful little baby girl, and, I mean, it's just wonderful. And Kathy didn't make an issue about how short he was. She just loved him for who he was. So even with this proof, okay, this is hard proof here, that short people, short men in particular, can find love, Paul completely ignores the possibility that he himself can be loved, and thus continues manifesting the reality that no woman in his life right now will love him. Now, Marcus Aurelius once said, "What a man can conceive and believe, he can achieve." The law of attraction states that what you believe will manifest. If you believe you are too short or too fat or too ugly or too poor to manifest a love partner, the universe will make you right. You will create what you believe to be true. If you believe that all men are abusive, you will only attract abusive men into your life. If Paul believes that short people can't be loved, then he will attract women into his life that reject him because he is too short. The universe makes you right based on your beliefs. So I want to ask you, Paul, would you rather be right about being too short to be loved, or would you rather have a loving girlfriend? The choice is yours. Give up your belief about being too short and start believing that height has nothing to do with love. Beliefs are just thoughts held by you to be true. They only have the power based on how much you believe in them. When you change your thoughts and beliefs, you change your life. Hey, if you're just joining me on the show today, please feel free to call in live and ask a question. I'll be able to see your number online, and I'll let you know when it's your turn to ask your question. The number to call is 1-347-945-6313. Now, before we go on to reason number 5 of the top 5 mistakes people make when they're looking for their love partner, I want to answer a question from one of my readers. We'll call her Tracy. Now, Tracy realized that there was a guy that she was attracted to and made him a big part of her vision board and her thoughts. And she was able to manifest him coming over and talking to her in an exercise class. There was definitely an attraction there, it sounds like, and she said that they chatted after class. And what she noticed was that some of her, what she calls assumptions and insecurities, tried to sneak in. She said she blocked them and kept focusing on him and her having a life and trying to visualize clearly that life. One thing she realized that she had the power to manifest him asking her out. And, of course, she wants him to. It would be wonderful. Now, it didn't happen that night, and she asked me, "Do you have any suggestions for when your old habits interfere, such as the points tonight? And is there any way I can draw him to take action if he is wanting it to through manifestation?" Okay, I'm trying to make sure I get this straight, Tracy. So you're asking about when your old habits or thoughts may interfere with your manifestation abilities. I hope that's correct. Now, I think it's wonderful that you already are aware of some of your assumptions and some of your insecurities that you say try to sneak in. And you know what? That is a fact of life. We are human beings. We make mistakes. We go back to old habits that don't serve us. I think that your awareness of these habits is good enough. I think when you're aware of them, even if they sneak in, you go, "Ah, there it is again. There I go thinking scarcity," or "There I go thinking X, Y, Z." You can catch yourself and let it go, even if it comes up 100 times. You know, so-called assumptions or insecurities that block you. As long as you realize that it might be blocking you, that awareness is enough to let it go and let it not affect your manifestation abilities. I think you're doing the right thing by focusing on what you want rather than what you don't want. So keep that visualization up and keep it positive. And if any negative or not supportive thoughts, you know, come into play, just say, "Oh, I noticed you. Thank you for sharing. Cancel or pass." And your second question, any way you can draw him to take action? Well, you know what? It sounds like you guys just started this relationship, so you may need to be a little bit patient I think nurturing the relationship is very, very important. And if you keep visualizing it, because you think this is the one, right? And I think, you know what, go for it. I mean, he may not be the one, but you won't find out until you try. You know, so you learn a lot in the process. It doesn't have to be perfect. You can go ahead and continue visualizing, you know, spending time with him. And one of the greatest methods that I know of to let's say, encourage someone to feel good about you is to every night write down 5 or 10 things that you appreciate about that person. Now, even if you don't know him all that well, you know what? There you go. You can go and ask him things and get to know him better. And then you can then appreciate those things and write those things down. It could be something simple like, I really love the way your eyes look, you know, when you look at me, or your smile is so warm, it warms my heart, and I feel really good when you smile at me. Or it could be, you know, I love the way you dress because it's so funky and cool, you know, anything. It doesn't have to be something really deep necessarily, but it's amazing. The appreciation actually transmits to the other person as an energy blast, and they feel it. This is what I call telepathy, sort of one-way telepathy. But you can actually communicate with the other person using this very, very simple technique of writing down what you appreciate about that person every night. And the more consistent you do it, the stronger the energetic field. And they connect to you. I mean, obviously, if they're willing. Now, you can't make someone like or love you if that's not their path and that's not what they want. I mean, we can't force another person's feelings to be a certain way. However, but if you're on the same wavelength, you can encourage action by imagining these things. And there's nothing wrong with you taking action, too, and being more forthright about it. But certainly if that's, you know, if you're practicing receiving and want to encourage him to ask you out rather than vice versa for whatever reason, then I would suggest this is the best way to do it. Just every day, you know, do your visualization exercise and write down 5 or 10 things you appreciate about him. And just keep that loving energy flowing because you know what? The other person feels it. It's amazing. And as an aside for everybody, if you're having a conflict with someone in your life, it could be your child, it could be your ex, it could be your mom, your dad, your coworker. You know what? Do the same exercise. I have seen miracles happen when you do this. In fact, I had this last week. I had a friend of mine who owed me some money, and we kind of miscommunicated on how it was going to happen, and she wrote a very angry email back to me and said, you know, I don't want to work with you anymore. You know, I'm going to send you your money, but I just don't want to hear from you again. And I emailed her back, and I said, you know what? If you're that upset about it, I don't want your money. You know, you sound really, really stressed. And I told her what I appreciated about her, and I also told her that I was never going to hold anything against her. I appreciated her for her talents. You know, and I just, well, something happened because she wrote back, and she completely, you know, 180 degrees. I mean, she agreed to this and that and the whole bit, and we worked out something very amicable. But she was really, really mad at me. And all I did was I just told her what I appreciated about her and that I was never going to hold anything against her. I had absolutely no angry feelings, you know, coming towards her, and in fact felt compassion because she sounded really stressed out, and I knew it was nothing to do with me. So it worked out really, really well. And Tracy also asked if I focus on at all on polarity. She said that she knows that one can manifest in or out, and she's an outgoing type, an out type. And with dating, she says she tends to do too much compromising and realizing her nature is to manifest out. But with this relationship, she wants to draw the person in, assuming that he feels the same way. Do you have any suggestions? Well, you know, I haven't really focused on polarity. I think that most of us have a personality type, extrovert, introvert. And I think in your case, because you're so aware of your past and how it may or may not have served you, it's really up to you to decide how you want this relationship to be. And I think that if you felt you've been too outgoing in the past and reaching out instead of drawing someone in, then this would be a great opportunity to experiment with the opposite. Neither is right or wrong, you know. I don't really teach along the lines of polarity, and maybe one day you'd like to come on the show and tell us about that a little bit more if you've read more about it. the bottom line is that it's a good thing for you to be self-aware, and then if it hasn't served you in the past to be as outgoing or maybe as forward, then maybe experiment with receiving or being patient and waiting and see what happens. So I wish you lots of luck, and Tracy, I want you to keep us up to date on how it's going. And Tracy also writes to James and I, good luck in April. I can see you and James winning the national championships. Well, thank you very much, Tracy. I definitely need to see us winning too. And the bottom line for us is we'd love to just enjoy ourselves and create a lot of energy and enjoyment for people watching us. And usually when that happens, you win. And so thank you very much for picturing that in your mind, because that'll help me and James and our manifestation to get what we want. So thank you very much. And let's move on here to reason number five, that it's the mistake number five that people make when looking for love. And this is the biggest mistake. And you know what? Everybody, almost everybody I know makes it. I mean, there's very few that do not make this mistake, myself included. And the mistake is, you have not made space in your life for what you want to manifest. This is one of the most common issues I see. As the saying goes, the universe abhors a vacuum. Basically, what it means is that we have to create a vacuum in our lives in order for something new and wonderful to come along. Time and time again, I see that people are hanging on to an old relationship that doesn't serve them fully, and they can't let it go. You know what it is? We are afraid of the void. We are afraid of the emptiness, the feeling of emptiness. It is so scary for most of us. So you know what we do? We fill the empty space with stuff, junk. Sometimes we fill it with people that aren't perfect, but you know, the philosophy goes something like, it's better to have somebody rather than nobody. And you know, I went through this personally during my quest to manifest the perfect dream skating partner. When I lost my first skating partner, Peter, I was devastated. I felt such an emptiness. It was as if I was experiencing the loss of divorce or death. I had fallen in love with paired figure skating, and not being able to do it was so agonizingly painful. I was willing to do just about anything to get another partner ASAP, as soon as possible. So this is the time before I learned the system of manifesting. I talk about my ebook, Creating Your Fairy Tale Love Life. You know, I wished for a new partner, but immediately and without knowing that or realizing that the universe was going to help me out in this quest, I set about feverishly looking for another partner. I searched high and low, online, offline. It was months of trying out skating partners and at the same time dating different people. One was a skater, the others were not, that I realized that I created a complex life and still didn't have the perfect skating partner. You see, I had filled my void with stuff. When I decided to stop dating new people and focus my efforts on getting a skating partner, that's when things started to turn around. There were two potential skating partners who were willing to skate with me, but I didn't feel the right chemistry. So instead of hanging on to them, I decided to let them both go. I basically said no to them. I was afraid I made the wrong decision because two-time Olympic gold medalist in pairs, Ludmila Protopopov, said to me once about one of my tryout partners that I just let go. She said, well, he isn't perfect for you, but having a partner is better than not having a partner at all. So I dared to actually not heed her advice, and instead, as I realized later after I learned the manifestation system I teach now, I created a vacuum. At that point, when I let all these partners go, my life simplified and I began really enjoying being single, and I rejuvenated my single skating. And in fact, I ended up winning an international gold medal as a single skater. Within about a month and a half of that, I met James, my dream love skating partner. Now, the same thing happened to James after his divorce. James said he was very needy, and he told me I could use that word. He was very needy and desperate for love after his divorce, and he was aggressively pursuing women at that point. And what happened was they got so sick of his neediness and his multiple calls that they just gave up and didn't return his phone calls. At last, out of frustration, he asked God for help. He asked God to bring him the right person. He sat back and stopped pursuing women. He just created space. And what he did is he just stuck to what he enjoyed doing, his passion, his drumming. And because he let go, because he stopped pursuing, he just sat back and created space in his life. Within a few short months, he manifested me into his life. He basically let go like God, and that's when I came into his life. So if you have an old boyfriend or girlfriend that you still hang around a lot, or maybe, you know, an ex-husband or an ex-wife that you spend quite a bit of time with, or you're constantly over at your parents' house, or you hang around a lot of single women all the time, you fill all your social space up, I would guide you to create more of a vacuum in your life. Now, it doesn't mean you can't remain friends, but there is a healthy space, and then there is unhealthy closeness. If you really want someone new in your life, you need to create space. Same thing goes for old feelings that are related to another relationship. We cover this in Chapter 5, actually, when I talk about obstacles. So if you haven't forgiven someone that has hurt you in the past, you are taking up valuable emotional space in your life, and the universe will have no room to give you what you want. Now, in Chapter 6 of my ebook, Creating Your Vacuum, there is a life vacuum quiz I want you to take. You can gauge how much available space you have in your life from taking this quiz, and then we work on some strategies to create more space in your life. Creating your vacuum is absolutely the number one step that I see that no one wants to do in the manifestation process, but it is essential. No one wants to do it because it's so uncomfortable. So I urge you to examine the areas of your life where you may be too busy, too complex, and free up some space. Besides, everyone knows that relationships take energy and relationships take time to nurture and grow. So you need to create that space and time before the relationship can manifest. The universe wants to know you mean business, so create that space ahead of time. So if you haven't gotten a copy of my ebook yet, I encourage you to do so, and you can get it at creatingyourfairytalelovelife.com, or you can go to my main website, www.lawofattractioninlove.com, and click on the link that says ebook so you can read a little bit about it. And if you haven't already, you can sign up for my free newsletter where I answer questions from people and post them either in my newsletter or on my blog. And you will receive the first three chapters of my book for free, as well as an Attracting Love Meditation MP3 download. And it's the meditation CD that you can burn it on a CD and listen to it every day, and it'll help, you know, create the energy that you can use to attract the person of your dreams. Let's see if I have another question here. Well, I have a question from Cheryl, about wanting a man that she works with to want a relationship with her. They're friends now, but she wants more. How do I do this? Well, she didn't write very much, but what I gather is that she is attracted to somebody at work and they're friends, but he hasn't asked her out yet. And I do talk about this a little bit in my blog, so you can read that entry. And what I was going to say to Cheryl is that what's very important for you to realize is that you can't make someone feel a certain way about you. And I like efficiency. So if you work together, you spend time together, you know, you could either ask him out or, you know, pretty much ask him point blank how he feels about you. I mean, it's kind of scary in some ways to do that. But boy, you know what, if you get your answer and it's yeah, you know, then you're on your way, you know, and then you can start building your life together. But if it's no, gee, I'm not interested, I'm sorry, then yeah, you may feel a little hurt or rejected, but at the same time realize it's nothing to do with you. All it means is that your vibrations don't match. And all it really means in the bigger scale is that there's somebody else better out there for you. And that is a very, very wonderful thing. And you might as well be efficient. And that's what I like to do. It's like, I don't want to hang on months and months not knowing. I'd rather know if the person's not interested, move on. You know what I mean? Say thank you and move on. Appreciate them, stay friends, but move on and look elsewhere and not be so attached to that one person. So I encourage you to be bold and courageous and, ask him how he feels and tell him how you feel. And if you don't get, and your intuition, you know, will tell you whether he's the right one or, you know, at least now or not. Now, it could be that he's not interested now, but then you start going out with somebody else and all of a sudden he gets interested, you know, 5 months later. Well, that can happen because you change, you know, and your vibrations change. And your vibrations may match later. I mean, this has happened time and time again, I see. So don't worry about that. Just, you know, figure out where you need to stretch to get what you want and be very clear that, you know, if you do get rejected, it's nothing to do with you. It's really about them, that person. They just don't vibrate at the same frequency you do. And so you know, you don't need that person. You can be friends, but, you know, that's not the right person for you. The person that is right for you will vibrate at the same frequency and will be equally as attracted at some point in time. And sometimes usually doesn't take that long. So good luck and keep us posted, okay? All right, well, we're coming to the end of our show. We have the next time we're online is Monday, March 31st, so 2 weeks from now, again at noon Eastern Standard Time. We're going to be talking about secrets to fast-tracking your manifestation abilities. So I hope you will be able to join me. And in the meantime, give me some feedback in the comment section on my Blog Talk Radio page. If you've listened to this radio show, I'd love to get your feedback. That's at www.blogtalkradio.com/Dr. Karen, D-R-K-A-R-E-N. And again, if you're interested in getting a full copy of my book, you can do so at www.creatingyourfairytalelovelife.com. And feel free to leave me any questions or comments on my main webpage at www.lawofattractioninlove.com. All right. Goodbye, everybody. Thanks for joining me, and have a wonderful St. Patrick's Day.